This is a homemade broadcast radio production.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is a HM bonus edition of the Homemade Broadcast. It is November 8, 2022. Happy Election Day. And for today, I have something very special planned. Nothing. Instead, I asked my friend Johnny B to join me, and he was like, sure. So we're doing a makeshift Johnny B show since the Tampa Bay Lightning are playing tonight, and we've been pushed out of the way for that on the bone. Welcome, Johnny B. Hello.
Hey, man, what's going on? How are you?
Oh, it's going great, man. I went today to wanted to get a lot of things done today. Ran a lot of errands. I was feeling motivated. I had to get an eye exam because I can't see anymore at night. So I decided to go get my eye examined. I sit down in the chair. It's one of these outlet type of places for your opticals, if you know what I'm saying.
Uh-huh.
And the guy, the first thing I noticed about the doctor, in quotes, I don't know what his credentials are. I'm assuming he's a doctor since he's examining my eyes. He's got annoying Nike shoes on, like the skater shoes, and they're multiple different colors. And he's like 45. And I'm going, don't really like that, but it's whatever. This is the cheapest eye exam there is in the county. And then I swear to God, the first thing he says to me is, well, obviously he says, hello. So please have a seat. And then he goes, are you in the cryptocurrency? And I went, Oh God. Yeah, a little bit. And then he started telling me the story about some company that bought some other company and he thought this was going to be the next big thing. And I go, they're all garbage. Okay. I got swindled too. Just, it's a sunken cost fallacy at this point, buddy. You just got to cut your losses. And then he examined my eyes, dilated them, and I went to go get my suit for your wedding. You said, now, you implied in the text that it needed to be done this week. I was kind of hoping to wait a little bit because my weight fluctuates 10 pounds depending on the week. But you seem to imply that it needed to be done this week. So I went today, pulled into the parking lot right after the eye exam, and closed for Election Day. On the sign. Unbelievable.
That's insane. Never heard of that before.
Insane. Yeah, I've never heard of that either. I mean, I kind of like that. I like the idea of if you want people to go out and vote, you know, and do their duty to, you know, make it a national holiday. But I feel like I did call and they said they were open and they gave the hours and everything. Nobody picked up the phone, but they gave the hours. That could have been something you could have put on your answering machine that we're going to be closed on Election Day.
Yeah. I mean, it's odd to me. Like, it takes 5 minutes. I mean, at least my polling station, you know, I went and voted today and like there was zero wait. Like you don't go first thing in the morning. You go at 7 a.m, you're going to wait in a line like a dummy. You go at lunch, you're going to wait in a little bit of a line. But if you could, you know, carve out 10 minutes at 3 p.m, like there's never, ever. And I live in Brandon. Brandon's very congested. Like there's a lot of people here and I parked right in front of the, it was in a little church is where our polling station is, parked right in front, walked right in. They said, well, howdy doody, sir. Can I see your ID? And I was like, well, that's refreshing. Yeah, I happen to have one. And I gave it to them. And then they said, well, here you go. There's your ballot. Go right over there and fill it out. And there's maybe 15 things to vote on and boom, 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 filled them out. Went over. The guy says, say, thank you, sir. Just put it into this machine and watch it eat it. And I was like, fine. Then he goes, you want a sticker? And I go, sure. I'm going to troll everybody on Facebook with it. And I was in and out in 5 minutes. So I don't understand, you know, the hassle when it comes to the voting and why you'd want to, you got to close the whole place down. Especially when it's not a really big company, they only got a couple of employees. I don't know. Hey, whatever, man. If it's a day off, you want a day off, that's fine.
Yeah. I think the problem is that, you know, with me, you know, and voting, I work from home. And if you work from home, you can kind of sneak out, kind of do your thing.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of people, if they have to go into the office, that would be a problem because they're either going at lunch or, you know, try to go before work or after work. And that's where you run into some problems. I did see Politico put out a piece and they were talking about how, well, the election, you know, I don't know. It could potentially be hacked. So they're already implying that if they don't get the results that they want, then yeah, it was probably going to I got to be careful of my words here because of YouTube, but it would just depend, depending who wins will depend on whether it was hacked by some sort of foreign actor or not. So look forward to that tomorrow. Those headlines. I saw Maricopa County in Arizona, that one that had the problems in 2020 with ballots and stuff. They're already saying that they won't be able to get the ballots done tonight already again. So everybody's up in arms about that. It's just going to be an S show. I love today too, because it's people who normally post about their self-diagnosed mental illness on Instagram instead urge you to vote the way they want you to. So that's always fun. And I literally saw a friend of mine post the voting thing and then went right into her self-diagnosed mental illness post. It was really a sight to see. I almost felt like I was repeating myself with the election post too. But I'm glad that this will be over after tonight for at least 6 months, maybe. I know that the former president of the United States has claimed he's going to make a big announcement next week, I believe. So It's already starting up. As soon as one gets over with, it's just coming back around. The campaigning's going to start for 2024. I'm just going to be glad that it's over for at least a few weeks. I got into not an altercation, but I asked my girlfriend if she voted for Chris.
Rookie mistake,
that was
buddy.
A bad move because the dynamic, we were having a nice day. You know, she was off of work and we went to have lunch, and then I went to my eye exam and she was nice enough to drive me to the suit shop because my eyes were dilated and unfortunately it was closed. And I made a comment about who she voted for, and the air just went out of the room
at
the time. So that kind of stunk. And I could kind of tell, like, should I say something or let this ride? And I just chose to let it ride. Didn't say anything. She just dropped me off, and we really haven't spoken since. So she'll sleep on it. You know,
it doesn't pay to argue or to even play to their side. Like, I was in a relationship years ago where I voted for somebody because I thought it would give me sexual favors, right? Like I made sure to show this woman, hey, I voted for your candidate, even though I was kind of like on the fence. And, but I knew that you would appreciate this. And I don't know if you remember, but remember, like 2 weeks ago, you said that you would do dirty stuff to me if I voted for this person. Well, there it is. And, never got paid off on that one. So you can't win. It's a no win to even bring it up, you know, and it's just sadly, you know, there's always going to be, you know, conflict when it comes to friends and things like that. And now even with relationships, because if you don't, like right now, I think I hate to say it, but, you know, most women are going to vote a certain way this year because of a lot of the topics at hand, you know, play into, you know, the emotional side of things. And of course, women's rights and all of that. So look, unless you're voting exactly alongside of them, don't bring it up because it's not going to end well. And now what do you got? Now you got to find a way to pick up the pieces and see how long this cold shoulder is going to last.
It'll be all right. She'll sleep on it today. I didn't say anything too inflammatory. I was just curious. Honestly, I was curious because it's something that I talk about a lot. I mean, I talk about it on the radio. I talk about it here on the podcast, something I'm interested in. But I was just curious if I had swayed her at all, or maybe she would decide not to vote, you know, because she didn't like the candidates. But I guess it's none of my business, really. And it does play a very small role in the relationship, really. I mean, we don't really talk about it too often. I'll mention stuff and she kind of nods her head and rolls her eyes a little bit when I say things. But I was just kind of curious of where she was at, you know, after spending a few years with me now. But now I know, you know, and I can't force her to vote a certain way or not vote or whatever. But yeah, lesson learned. That was a bad move, but I was more just curious than anything, but curiosity killed the cat. So
trust me, I'm curious all the time, not just with, you know, my fiance, but my friends and people in general. Like I want to ask them, you know, why they're going to vote for anybody. And, you know, what's the reason behind it? You know, because I don't think anybody cares about issues. Really. I think they care. My side, my friends seem to like this person. I'm going with this person because this seems like what the trendy thing to do. You know, this is what certain people are doing, you know, and it's I'd rather hear if I'm have that conversation, which I don't have the energy for. I'm just over it. But if I was, I want to know, you know, like, are you weighing the pros and cons of each candidate, you know, whichever office you're voting on? You know, if you're voting for Demings over Rubio, are you looking at the pros and cons for both sides? Because I'll be honest, I like things about both of them. I hate things about both of them. And that's how I feel about a lot of them. I don't like everything about Ron DeSantis. I don't like everything about Charlie Crist, you know? So it's like, who is the lesser of the evils? That's how I pick my candidates. You know, like I, you know, who am I going to be the happiest with? They're all scumbags at the end of the day, but who's going to be the least slimy and who is going to benefit my household the most? Because I'm done worrying about people in South Florida. You know, like I'm not talking about Southwest Florida and hurricanes, so don't jump on me there. I'm talking about just people in other parts of this. I don't care as much about other people as I do me and my people, you know, and that's really, you got to think that way sometimes, you know, because guess what? Nobody cares about you. So I try to pick the best person for the job, you know, and it's not always somebody
least worst
I like.
Person, least worst person for the job is how most people vote in those circumstances. You know, it's bizarre though, because we were kind of talking about it just before you popped on, and people don't really live in like a reality of what policy is. They kind of go by what the ads, you know, tell them, and these hyperbolic versions of the issues. So, you know, if abortion is your thing, then they're going to be like, oh, you're going to vote for Ron DeSantis. What, you want me to have a baby if I was sexually assaulted? And you're like, whoa.
Yeah.
You know, wait a second there. And then the other side does it too. Like, oh, you want, I almost said a bad word. A person who switched genders in classrooms dancing around naked.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, but no, you know, there's these really hyperbolic versions of what the issues are. And that's really where the majority of people vote is by those crazy hypothetical, you know, things that these people put out there. And they're not wrong necessarily. They're like factual maybe, but not really truthful of what the whole entire scope and narrative of the thing of an issue is. But that's how you win, and it works. Yeah. And it works pulling on people's heartstrings and emotions, and it's been very effective throughout, you know, modern democracy or our history here in America.
Yeah, with the way the world is now, with social media, with so many forms of media, streaming and every kind of cable network and YouTube, you know, everything you have at your, you know, disposal, the things that are most polarizing are what people are consuming. That's what they're being fed, and especially in echo chambers, you know? So it's like, you're going to see the extremist from both sides. So if you're somebody that's a Republican, they're going to feed you the most extreme opinions from the left. And if you're somebody that's left, they're going to feed you the most extreme Republican opinion. So if you're on the left, all you're being fed is every Republican, you know, wants you to have a rape baby, right? And if you're on the other side, it's like every Democrat wants to have drag queens teaching your five-year-olds. So it's like there's really no middle ground at all. It's one or the other.
Yeah, and that's how people have voted for many years now. And I've heard people say, like, I don't remember it being this negative. And like every ad, it used to be like, here's what I will do. And then, you know, there were some like ads that were kind of more like throwing dirt on your opponent. And now it's all just throwing dirt on your opponent as opposed to, you know, what I will do differently. I didn't really see many ads, but that's just what I've heard. And I believe it. I'm sure that that's the case now. The climate's definitely changed over the past, I don't know, decade, maybe 10 years.
At least. Negativity. Yeah. Do you remember, did you ever run for office in school?
No, never.
But do you remember the campaigns? It was always down to two kids, right? To be class president. And it was always about what can I do that's cool for all the other students? It wasn't like they didn't trash each other, which I think that'd be kind of cool if that's the way it was now, if they allow them to drag each other through the mud. But it was always like the kid that won was the one that did something stupid. Like I'm going to put a candy bar machine in the cafeteria. Like what? Oh, well you win, you're getting my vote. Or it'd be some hot girl, and she's like, I'm going to change the skirts can now be above the knee, and be like, oh, she's getting my, it's just dumb stuff like that. But it was kind of fun. Now it's just like, everything is so just deranged and evil. It's depressing. I hate it.
Yeah. I mean, I find it fascinating. I'm interested in politics. I don't think the majority of people are actually interested in politics. They may be interested in the combativeness of the two, the Yankees, Red Sox nature of modern American politics and the red versus blue side. But I mean, I like to at least try to look at some of the issues. I'm not pro-democracy. I hope that doesn't get me thrown off YouTube because I don't think the general populace is equipped to make these decisions. I don't think they have much interest to, and you see that by voter turnouts over the past, 50, 60 years. People just don't care. They would much rather just whatever people, the oligarchy wants to do, that is fine, whatever. And I'll cast my ballot maybe for president. That's the big one. Midterms are always, the turnout's much lower because they don't really care, And the fact of the matter is that most of the time, these people that you vote for and elect don't really, especially at the national level, they don't affect your life at all. I mean, it's much more, your local officials will affect your life much more. Your school board, your county commission, like that sort of stuff. Those people are really have more control of your life than at the national level. But I just don't feel like people, I don't think people should vote because I don't think they care. And I don't think that they really, I think even the things that they claim to be passionate about, they don't know about. They just know the propaganda that they're fed by their chosen party. And that's,
I don't think really everybody should be allowed to vote. I think you should have to qualify to vote. And I know that sounds, fascist. I don't know. But I look, hear me out. Not anybody can go on Jeopardy, right? You can't. Don't you have to take like a test to get on Jeopardy? They don't just let anybody on Jeopardy. That'd be a train wreck. Could you imagine just three dorks that have no idea, that have eighth grade education going on Jeopardy? Not going to be a good show. You need smart people for Jeopardy. I'm not saying you need geniuses to vote, but you need to at least be competent, like a little bit. And I think it's that way with driving a car. I think it's that way with being a parent. I think you should have to pass a very basic litmus test. Nothing crazy, but I mean, you just can't be one of these people that are breathing with your mouth wide open, driving 20 miles an hour in the left lane. These people vote. And I don't like that at all. I don't like that at all. I think you need to take a test where you're not, some test prove that you're not just easily manipulated, because I think a lot of people are. I think a lot of people, you can get them to vote any way you want to in 5 minutes.
And it's just a propaganda, whatever propaganda that they consume. If you're watching cable news, most of it's going to be, I think some people would disagree with it, but the vast majority of it lies on the left. If you read the New York Times, you're voting Democrat, and then if you watch Fox News, you're probably going to vote, conservative. But that's about it. I mean, as far as mainstream ones, there's ones online now where conservative media can kind of thrive, like the Daily Wire and what's Daily Caller. There's stuff like that. And I think there was a study where that was done with the most interactions on Facebook even. And I think the Daily Wire was the most consumed news source on Facebook, which makes sense because it's a lot of boomers on Facebook now.
They do a good job with their, with the production of it and everything, too. Oh, yeah. So, I mean, it's not like, you know, one of these low budget type. I mean, it's well put together. Like it looks as professionally done as anything on a major cable network.
Yeah. So. The only difference is it doesn't have the, you know, prestige factor of being around for 150 years, like the New York Times or, you know, the Washington Post or something. Right. So they still have that advantage there. But you can manipulate people easily. Edward Bernays wrote a book, Propaganda. I think it's just called Propaganda, about how to manipulate people. It's real easy. Breaks down the psychology of it. So whoever controls mass media, whatever side, whatever. I know there's probably a lot of different sides, but you know, if you're consuming cable news on the reg, you're probably going to feel a certain way. And it's just hard to take those people seriously in the internet age where there's so much information. The problem is, though, on the other side, is that there's too much information, and I don't know what the hell to believe anymore.
Oh yeah, you have to try to sort through all of the noise to figure out what is even close to being the truth, and it gets tiresome. It gets to the point where you just throw your hands up and you're like, I'm just gonna see what's going on with football, or I'm just gonna go watch. Anything but that. I'll go watch Fail Army on TikTok. Just people hurting themselves is much more entertaining. And that's what I'm saying. It's just it's a headache, man. It really is. And I don't have time to debate with anybody. I just don't. I got other things to worry about. You know, we're supposed to be entertaining people.
Yeah. I mean, my thing too is like you get to a point where, you either check out for a little while or go watch something that's, you know, sports or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes you just go, I just got to trust my gut at this point. If it's something I'm really fascinated in and interested in the topic and want to learn more, then I'll go check out a few different sources. And some of them will say the complete opposite of what I just read in this other one. And then you just kind of go, well, here's what I think happened based off that. And this is now, and I hate this phrase, my truth. But you get to a certain point where you can't handle, you're going to go insane if you're focusing on all this stuff. So that's why I get why people just go, I read the New York Times. Okay. And it's hard to argue with that because I totally understand why you do that. Or I watch MSNBC. They tell me what's up and you go, okay, that's a CIA network. They'll look at all their contributors. They're all former CIA, NSA people. Well, that's who I'm going with. They're the experts. And that's what I'm going to go, all right. I mean, I get it, but you know, you're being manipulated, and they would say the same thing about me too, about the sources that I go to. So it's really kind of hard to figure out. It is exhausting. And that's why sometimes I just want to watch a damn football game without them telling me to vote.
Well, that's the thing. Yeah. I've been getting aggravated with that too. I'm watching a football game and they're like, you need to go vote. You need to end racism. I'm like, I'm watching a football game. Obviously I love black people. There's 80% of the league. You don't have to tell me to not be a racist. I'm fine. Leave me alone. You don't even know who I am, man. All right. You're just yelling this out. It's everywhere. And people want to argue. We know a few people mutually that are so ate up by the news that it's their entire existence. I want to be more friendly with these people, but I just can't because that's all they have. They have nothing else going on. It's a hobby. It's a lifestyle. It's everything. And I never want to be that person at all. I got so many other things that I'm interested in that I want to do. And none of it's politics. I'll tell you that much. It's turning my nose up to people that live it 24 hours a day. I just go, Jesus, man. Like, all right. If that's what you are, I mean, I guess enjoy yourself. But I don't want to get in a debate with somebody every time I talk to them. Because everybody's a genius, you know, they all know
but they what they're don't. Talking about. I mean, nobody gets in a debate about politics in person. Anyways, it's a very low investment on the apps, on Instagram or not Instagram, but probably Twitter and Facebook would probably be the big two. It's so easy to do. You're sitting in front of your phone. You're not looking at somebody in the face. You're talking to a chat box. And you're seeing things. You're getting ads. You're browsing the web. You're bored. You're just sitting around. You know, and those people probably aren't really into the Bucks or something. So they go to some other, like football is simulated combat, essentially in the what was that big Roman theater that they had, like where gladiators?
Coliseum.
Coliseum. Yeah. You go into this Coliseum and you watch dudes hit each other and fight, you know, essentially. Then there's a ball involved instead of a mace that's going to bash somebody in the head. But it's as close as we got in our modern civilization to that. So they're not, you know, they might not have much interest in that, but they still want conflict. There's something in human beings that, I mean, we came up on conflict. That's how we got today.
We're warmongers. Yeah, all of us.
But yeah, I mean, not even warmongering, but just there's something in our DNA where conflict is warring tribes. Like, we were tribal 100,000 years ago or whatever. And that's a short time as far as evolution goes. So there's something in us that still wants conflict, combat. So we have sports, and hopefully your friends are sports fans and not politics fans, because if you don't go one way, you tend to swing another. And it's just, you don't really know. Nobody knows what the hell they're talking about, really, at the end of the day. Some more than others. Some think they know more than others. And those people are even worse and more dangerous, because they're dumb and they think they're smart. And those are the ones who really do a lot of damage.
Right.
But, you know, there's plenty of those. But, you know, hopefully you just go, I need to go to my friends who like football, and on Sundays I can get away. But it is frustrating to see. Yeah, right. Like, what do you mean I got to end racism? I didn't do anything. And you're like, yeah, you did. And you're like, what?
Well, we've been putting up that for the last couple of years too. And there's a lot of you know, female comics out there that I really like as people. And I try to separate politics from friendship, and I do it all the time. Like, you'll see at the wedding, there's going to be probably half the wedding party that I personally invited, that we don't sit the same on political views. But I don't care what, you know, if that's what you're into, good. I love you for other reasons. You're still my friend, you know, that's just how it is. But some of these, a couple of female comics, they started this whole thing with, you know, oh, how's it feel now, straight white guys? And I'm like, why are you doing this? Like, what did I do, man? And then I look through, you know, the history. One of the girls, I'm like, well, all you've ever dated is straight white guys, so why do you hate them so much? I don't understand. Like, it's like, there's a-holes of all kinds, you know, straight, gay, black, white, Hispanic, Asian, like, bad is bad, good is good. You know, and then when you say that, they go, oh, that sounds like something a white guy would say right now. What do you want from me? You know, like, I don't understand.
It's about revenge. It's about revenge and being in the in-group and ostracizing the out-group. That's really all that it is. Louis C.K. had a joke about that many years ago, that eventually that he loved being white. Right. I mean, that was the joke.
Yeah. He said it was exponentially better. Yeah. It was funny.
But he said at the end of the joke was, one day it's going to, you know, come back and bite me. And I just hope I'm not around to be here for it. But now that's what it is. It's just, you know, the perceived the currency of victimhood, which is something a white guy would say. I get that. But, you know, everybody's capitalizing on this victimhood status. I saw even our Governor DeSantis made November 8th, I think it is Election Day, Victims of Communism Day. So literally, like, memorializing, I guess they would say, the victims of this political ideology. And that just goes to show you that even the right side of the spectrum is using victimhood as currency in these times. And that's how powerful it really is. And I hope we can get over that. You think he's trolling?
He might be trolling with the whole victim thing. No, I mean, I don't think he's trolling.
I think he knows that victimhood holds a lot of currency with people. Now, of course, it's not going to convince anybody on the other side of that spectrum that, and be like, you know what, Ron DeSantis is right. They're not going to do that. But it's something you can put in your cannon and shoot over on the other side, and show your signal to your team that you are acknowledging this victimhood, right?
Yeah.
So it just shows you. I mean, even the right will use it. And it might, I don't know if it's a winning strategy or not, but it's definitely playing by the rules of this bullcrap ideology that I despise, and I know you're not a big fan of either. Yeah. So I wasn't a big fan of that, honestly, but, you know, I don't necessarily blame them either. I mean, it's just playing the game. It's checkers, not chess, but I jumped you, and now I king me. you know, type.
Yeah. I just, it's rough, for, I kind of feel for the younger people that are kind of going through all of this kind of this, hailstorm of craziness, you know, like we're older, we could kind of, you know, we're more sensible, you know, and we see things around us and go, okay, I get it. I see what's happening. No big deal, you know, but you get the younger college kids and things like that. I saw, this is like on a, I don't know, YouTube or TikTok or one of them, but these young guys are going around and there's a lot of these videos now where they're interviewing people on campus and getting opinions on things. And it's really good for viral videos because you get all these different opinions. And this was with the Kanye thing, 3 weeks ago when he came out with, was it Candace Owens, and they were wearing the White Lives Matter shirt. So they were just walking up to college kids, white and black, and saying, hey, do white lives matter? That was the question. Straight up. And there were so many answers along the lines of, no, they don't matter. White people suck. And it was, that's totally acceptable in society to be able to say that right now. It's actually very trendy. It's like the cool thing to say. And it's just so weird to me to be able to just accept any group publicly to say, no, they suck. And it's fine. Like that to me is just, it blows my mind. And there were sensible people that were like, yeah, no, of course they matter. You know, it's stupid. You know, it was great. Even this, like probably 60, I'd say mid 60s black guy, they asked him and he goes, of course, white lives matter. He goes, you guys are playing into all this BS. You're letting the media program you. He goes, saying all lives matter isn't racist. It's just a fact. You should care about everybody as individuals. And the guy interviewing him goes, whoa, buddy. Like he backed off, like he was nervous about that answer. I was like, it's just so crazy. Like right now, it's very trendy to crap on certain people because the mainstream is saying like, yeah, these people are bad and they deserve it. So give it to them. Mm-hmm. It's weird.
Yeah, I mean, and that goes back to the media that people consume. I mean, it's pretty out there. If you watch MSNBC, CNN, that's a pretty common point of view. Maybe they don't go as extreme as saying that people should die and that lives don't matter, but pretty close. I mean, you know, so I don't know. It's just I wish people would break themselves out of this stuff, but I'm sure the feeling's mutual when I talk to people who I disagree with. So yeah, I don't know.
I just wish people would cut the crap. I wish I want there to be like this new movement of like that literally is like where people just go, you know what? Enough. Let's just cut the crap. Let's all settle down. Everybody put their weapons down and let's just think logically. All right. Obviously there are some higher powers here that are putting us into these mindsets. Let's think as individuals and think sensibly. Can we do that? Can we all just cut the crap for a second? Like, wouldn't that be nice?
It would be nice, but absolutely no chance of that happening, unfortunately.
Yeah.
It's hopefully eventually, you know, people will get over this stuff, but it's, I wouldn't expect it, you know, anytime soon. You got election results up, right, Johnny? It's 7:53 p.m. on November 8th. We're recording this right now. I'm going to release it actually right after we sign off here. Is there
very any early? Results? It's very early right now, Will. It's really hard to tell at this point because they're only reporting a small percentage at this moment right now. This just seems like filler TV. They're talking it up and they're, you know, they're giving out the different Senate races and, of course, governor and all of the other local races, but everything just seems to be kind of 50-50 between the main Republican and Democrat in each race. As we get more in now we're getting a lot more governor right now. DeSantis 57% to 43%. And that's with about almost 6 million votes counted, but there's still a lot more votes coming in. That's a big I don't lead. Understand.
Big lead for DeSantis.
Can you tell me why somebody would run that has no chance, like Jimenez and Ruz? Have you heard of this guy, Ruz, R-O-O-S, handsome, chubby man? He's running for governor. He's got 0% right now.
Libertarian?
Do what?
Is he libertarian?
I'm sure he is, but or something, independently something. Right now, starting to pull away. Rubio's starting to pull away. They got a few more million votes in right now. 55% Rubio, 44 for Demings. So I got to say, you know, I don't like either one of them. But I will say this about Demings that turned me off. She's angry and screaming in a lot of her rallies. It's like, relax. Like, she looks like Angela Bassett, like when she's really mad at Ike Turner in the movie. It's like, all right, just, I mean, it's like weird cadence. Remember when Hillary came out and she had that weird cadence she was doing? It's like, what are you doing? Like, talk like a person. Like, what are we doing? But man, every time I saw Val Demings, she was just mad as hell. And I'm like, all right, I don't know if you have the emotional stability to be the senator at this point. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I didn't see any debates. I haven't seen any ads. Oh, I take that back. I did see a few Crist and DeSantis, and I think hers and Rubio's ads, but that was it. And that was up for the football game on Sunday when I had the cable going. But yeah, I don't know. I haven't seen any ads. I know that she was a former police commissioner, I believe, in Orlando, and on the short list to become vice president. Under Joe Biden, she was one of the candidates there. But yeah,
quick update real quick. Jay Collins, who has no political background at all, I believe, military guy, currently edging out Janet Cruz here locally for Florida State Senate District 14. Also, Anna Paulina Luna. Am I saying that right?
You are.
She is pulling away from her competition, too, who started out in the early reportings as having a slight edge over her. So we shall see. Right now, Rubio 55%, Demings 44% with about 5.6 million votes in reported. So, yeah, I'm trying to look in here. Walter Simpson with a slight edge over Bleamer for Agriculture Commission. Jimmy Petronas, slight edge over Hattersley for Financial Officer. Ashley Moody, slight edge over Ayala. So right now, if people are predicting a red storm or a red wave, it looks to be kind of working so far on most of these. I'd say the Republicans are leading in a lot of these. So we'll see. There's a lot more to go.
That's what they expected. I'll be looking for more what happens in Pennsylvania with Dr. Oz and Frankenstein.
That's Fetterman. Fetterman. Dude, that is a bizarre race. Like, I'm blown away. I mean, I'm not really blown away that you got a TV star running for office. We've seen it.
Endorsed by former President Trump, too. Yeah.
Right. But Fetterman is literally stroked out. Like, he can't talk. He's had a stroke recently. He's all over the place. Like, he makes Biden look like the most articulate president we've ever had just after you hear him talk. And I'm not saying that because he's Democrat. You know, I don't care. I've voted for many, many Democrats. I've voted for probably more than I have Republican. I just want the best person. I'm not in Pennsylvania, but I'm watching this thing unfold because of how polarizing it is. Because you got Dr. Oz, who all I know is from him being on talk shows and trying to sell you BS diet supplements online. And then you got this guy with this weird poetry goatee. He's a massive dude. And his brain is not functioning correctly. And they're like 50-50 right now in the polls. It's insane to me.
Yeah, that's another one with just media trying to pull that guy across the finish line. I mean, it's quite clear that, and it's not his fault. He had a stroke.
I know, but those are the breaks. You can't beat the damn senator. I'm sorry.
Yeah, and then on the other side, you got a TV doctor. That's running. I mean, neither one of those are good candidates. And then you got Herschel Walker and Warnock in Georgia, another Trump pick, a celebrity, former athlete, diagnosed with multiple personalities. Not a good candidate.
CTE, man. Yeah. Probably. Oh, sure. You know?
Yeah. I know. It's wild. So that will be interesting to see what happens. And then the other race I'm kind of interested in is Arizona governor. To see what Carrie Lake does over there.
I don't care what anybody says. I have a hard time not liking Carrie Lake just because she's a former TV anchor, a news anchor, and she attacks back at the media in such a beautiful way. I can't help but like her. Like, she roasts these people hard, and she does it in a very, like, she does it in a way that Trump wasn't able to, because Trump isn't this ex-media like anchor. Like, she is very good. She is like laser accurate in her attacks, and she knows exactly what she's doing. If you haven't seen her and you're watching this or listening to this, just go YouTube her handling some of the media members when they come at her with tactics that she knows already.
Yep.
She knows. It's like trying to outcoach a very good head football coach. She knows what they're coming with, and she's ready for them, and she's getting them. I mean, she's pretty badass. If there's going to be a female president in the next 12 years, watch out for her, because she's good.
Yeah. I would expect that with former President Trump's announcement next week, I'm pretty sure he's saying he's going to run 2024. Expect her to be his VP candidate if he in fact does do that.
They asked her today and she said no, plans on serving two terms as the governor. So I know she's wanting to get elected, but yeah.
Of course. Yeah. That's what you got to say. You can't say, oh, yeah, I'm out if Trump asked me to go. So yeah. Johnny, we've done almost 40 minutes here. This is great. I appreciate you jumping on. We got to do this more often when we're off. If you're home, just hop on.
I'm not doing anything. I mean, if I wasn't doing this, I'd be watching the Lightning game, which I'm going to turn on as soon as we get off, or I'd be on my VR headset talking smack to people on some fake poker table somewhere.
Well, that was cool, man. We'll do this. We'll do this again soon, obviously. And obviously catch a Johnny B show Wednesday night, 10 to midnight. And Thursday we'll be on 8 to 10 on the bone. Friday we'll be off again. So maybe we'll do this Friday, or maybe record one Thursday early to release on Friday or something.
I'm totally in. Let me know.
All right, buddy. Thanks, man.
All right. Later.
There he goes, Johnny B. Thank you so much for watching this video. You can follow Johnny B on social media, Johnny B Comedy on Twitter, Johnny B Tampa on Instagram, and follow the Johnny B Show on Facebook. Follow HMB Radio, hmbradio.com, Homemade Broadcast Radio. All one word. Squeeze together, hmbradio.com. Subscribe on iTunes and Spotify. Same way, HMB Radio. And willsyoutube.com, subscribe over there for videos and commentary and guests and fun stuff. And follow me, home_made_man on Twitter and Instagram. Venmo, if you're feeling really generous, Will Koontz. And you can go to hmbradio.com/donate if you're feeling very generous. I'd appreciate that. It is the holidays. I'm just saying. It's coming up. And hmbradio.com/store. Get yourself a hoodie or a t-shirt or something. Links will be down below. Leave your comments. That helps the algorithm. And give it likes, all that good stuff. I know many of you do that, and I appreciate that. See you tomorrow on the Johnny B Show. Goodbye.